Over the past year, the Utah Foundation has published a series of reports looking at social capital in Utah. The idea is expressed by Harvard professor Robert Putnam that our connections between individuals and the broader community improve not only our own well-being, but that of the places we live and the nation as a whole. One key aspect of that is social mobility, improving each family's station in life.
It's the potential for movement of individuals, families, or groups toward higher incomes or wealth in a lifetime or across generations.
Sean Tigan is Utah Foundation's president.
It's me, it's my family, it's my community, it's for us right now, or it's for us, it's for my kids and or my kids' kids.
You're listening to Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. As the report on social mobility was being finalized for its release, Sean Tigan led a roundtable discussion with Utah Foundation staff and a member of its board of trustees, Carlton Christensen. One key measurement they discussed is educational attainment. For the purposes of the study, they used the share of each state's population that has a four-year college degree. Senior analyst Christopher Collard acknowledged that there are alternative ways to recognize educational attainment, including skilled trades and other certifications, but the four-year degree is useful in making comparisons.
And so you're absolutely right that there are alternative avenues to educational attainment outside of college, but definitely having the college experience is one of the biggest social capital building blocks for young adults. And so we primarily focused on four-year degrees, just because that's a really good standard, it's a really common standard, at least, and also because it represents 4 years in an environment where you're having lots of robust interactions with other students, you're building your social capital with your professors, and you're really kind of developing it at a kind of a wide area.
Sean Tigan also points out that educational attainment goes along with the broader issue of youth engagement, young people employed productively to build lives for themselves and their future families. There, he says, Utah is also doing pretty well.
Are young people engaged in education? Are they getting some training in some sort? Are they employed? We perform among the top 15 states nationally. So we are, and that's a good metric. We're doing well. We have a low number of unengaged or disengaged people. You see that this gap is narrowing between the nation and Utah on this metric. And so you see that at least particularly in the most recent data point, that's about the one of the closest points that we've seen Utah and the U.S. You've seen a couple other ones like 2010 and 2014, but it does seem like it's perhaps narrowing a little bit over the past 10 or so years.
The conversation then turned to home ownership, another key metric of social mobility. Among the mountain states, Utah is tied with Wyoming for first place in home ownership and stands at 13th place nationally. Utah Foundation board member Carlton Christensen says that is becoming a much bigger concern, though, as affordability of homes becomes an increasingly difficult goal for young families in Utah.
Does your report go so far as to break it down by age classification on that home ownership?
We don't.
I was only asking the question because of the current discussions going on about the ability and availability of home ownership and
for younger people, especially.
Yeah, and I just wondered whether, from a generational standpoint, if you were looking down the road, how does that hold itself?
Did you bring this point up? I think that if you dug into this by age breakup, if you were able to equalize the age across the U.S., you'd mm-hmm. see that Utah is even higher than it is. I mean, we're a younger state, and so we've got a larger proportion of young people than other places, and probably a larger proportion of, I'm just guessing, but this is probably accurate, 20 to 30 year olds than other states, and a smaller relative proportion of 40 to beyond year olds, and that home ownership is lower in the 20 to 30, but if you equalize it, or if you look at it by age bracket, I bet the U.S. is going to outperform most states here.
Research analyst Ashley Marshall Cantor joined the continuing conversation as it pointed toward future opportunities for study.
This would be a cool report to do.
I mean, it's definitely a huge public policy. And, you know, you hear the radio spots and talking about affordable housing and to take action. And I just don't know. You know, the other piece of that that also is intriguing to me is, you know, as you look at the younger generation, how many of them actually want to own a home?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the joy of mowing your lawn every week.
But what about people who are starting at the lowest levels of society, stuck in poverty that follows them from generation to generation? When Sean Tigan presented this report to Utah's news media, he invited Michelle Crawford from Circles to explain how her organization helps people lift their vision and to imagine and then work toward what they could achieve. She says it begins with a commitment to learn and to begin.
Once they've committed, they start with us in a 12-week training program. And the topics of those 12 weeks include things like financial planning, budgeting, trauma of money. We talk about goals, letting them dream about what their life looks like on the other side of poverty. And then one of those sessions actually is focused on social capital. So what we found when the model was being built 25 years ago is that most people experiencing poverty have about 0 to 2 people they can call on in a time of need. So we saw a huge need there of getting people connected with their community, finding that social connectedness to help really just cheer them on. So our families then are introduced to what social capital is. And in a lot of cases, when I'm teaching that session, I learned that they don't even know that term and certainly don't understand that it's also a form of wealth for them to have social capital.
Building social capital is one of the critical ways they help people who've made the commitment to improve their situation.
Allies are community volunteers who are middle or wealthy class income. Really important that they're not experiencing poverty, so they have a different lens on goals and achieving goals and going after your goals. And they're paired with our families, who we call circle leaders. So we built this circle around them. We put them in a position to lead their circle. So we're not here to tell them what to do or how to do it. We're here to help them identify their dreams, set some smart goals, and then build the supports around them to get them connected to the opportunities that are going to get them to accomplish the goals that they're that they've set for themselves. And it's very much this path of building social capital so that they can obtain then the social mobility.
Michelle Crawford is executive director of Circles. Their motto is building community to end poverty. The full Utah Foundation report, Migrations and Mergers, How Economic Mobility Melds with Social Capital, is available now at utahfoundation.org. We hope you'll share it along with this Utah Thrives podcast and support the work of the Utah Foundation. Our mission is to inform and engage Utahns with illuminating, independent, nonpartisan public policy research. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.